Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much indeed for that, Carl. You heard it on the headlines there. Sinn Féin has called on the government to scrap their hate speech legislation, as the party says it's not fit for purpose. The party's TDs voted in favour of the bill in the Dáil last April. However, it did not support the bill in the Shannon, where it voted against it last June. The bill will legislate against hate crimes for the first time in Irish law. And it will also update an existing incitement to hatred law dating back to 1989. Minister for Justice Helen McEntee, for her part, has insisted today that the hate crime bill will, hate speech bill will proceed. Well, here to discuss this further, I'm joined by Pa Daly, who's Sinn Féin TD and spokesperson on justice, and by Barry Ward, who's Fine Gael senator and spokesperson on justice as well. You're both very welcome to the programme. My turn to you, Pat Daly, first of all, because you're being accused of hypocrisy here, aren't you, today? Your party voted in favour of the bill in the Dáil last April. You're now calling for it to be scrapped. Why?
Yeah, well, this bill has been rumbling along for years now, and there's a lot of good intentions behind the bill, but we believe that it has been badly implemented and badly thought through, and we had dealt with a lot of organisations such as the Immigrant Council, and I have in front of me a student group, international students who are had protected characteristics as defined under the bill, and these are vulnerable people, and they were being subjected to abuse. However, we are now at the eighth stage of the bill in the Houses of the Oireachtas, and before that, there was heads of bill and pre-legislative scrutiny.
No, well, hang on a second. You're giving me a long old story here. Let's get to the point. The question is, you say it's badly thought through, but you voted for it last April. Why?
Yeah, we did, because we wanted, when we were in the Justice Committee, we had a number of amendments in, and in fact, it was Minister Simon Harris at the time who dealt with it in the Justice Committee, and he did say that he would promise to examine it and to reflect on it. And he said, I'm sure that the minister will listen. But at this stage, to date, there has not been any amendment apart from minor technical amendments made
so,
by or
so
accepted
am I right
by
in
the
saying
government.
That you voted for it? Am I right in saying that you voted for it in April in the hope that when Minister Helen McEntee would return in the Shannon, say, that it would be amended? Is that right?
Well, it had nothing to do with whether Minister Helen McEntee was there or not. It was what the government would take on board or whether they wouldn't take it on board. And we felt that parts of the bill were disproportionate, for example.
OK, but you voted for it. So Barry Ward, hang on.
Can I just finish there? We felt that including public order legislation, with what's going on with Garda vetting and all of that, it was disproportionate to have somebody labelled a hate crime in potentially circumstances where both two people could be charged arising out of the one incident. One could be charged with Section 6 of the public order, and another person could be charged with the hate bill.
Let me bring in Barry Ward here. They tried to engage with government on this, but there are too few amendments and they want it scrapped now.
The first thing, if I may, a correction, they did not vote against the bill at second stage of the Shannon. It was passed by agreement and went to committee stage. So Sinn Féin have supported this bill all along. The reality is that this is absolutely naked political opportunism by Sinn Féin. They've decided the tide has turned on this bill and they're going to jump on the bandwagon. Sorry to mix my metaphors, but that's the reality of it.
Did you say the same thing about Michael Ring and Charlie Flanagan?
No, actually I wouldn't, because they've been critical of this at various different stages.
They voted for it as well.
But
so why is it different?
Because the difference is that Simon Harris, when he was interim Minister for Justice, made a commitment to that process is ongoing. Mm. The examination of the bill, Helen McEntee has said very clearly today, she is continuing to examine it. Mm. She's looking at changes that can be made to assuage some of the concerns that people have expressed. That process is ongoing.
Hang on a second.
Why now, though,
Cormac? Hang on a second here, because you're accusing Sinn Féin of hypocrisy, basically. Mm-hmm. But yet it seems to me that Michael Ring and Charlie Flanagan, your colleagues in Fine Gael, are doing the same thing.
They are not parties. They're individuals and expressing personal opinions.
What's
They're not speaking for Fine Gael. Well, Pa is speaking on behalf of a party that thinks it can be in government, and yet it also feels it can flip-flop on an important issue like this.
So it's individuals in Fine Gael to flip-flop, but not a party.
I can't control what individuals say, but Cormac, the reality is there is a process ongoing. The question you'd need to ask is, why now? What's changed since last June when Sinn Féin supported this bill going forward that they now decide they want to get rid of it?
Why now, Pa?
Yeah, no, there's a process in place. That's an interesting phrase that Barry has used. I have in front of me the Justice Committee debate, which took place in February of 2023, when the promises were made to examine and to reflect on it. And to date, again, nothing has happened, even though in the last 24 hours, we have now heard from the Minister that there may very well be some amendments coming into place. So it's not when the bill was in the Senate, there was a number of amendments made, and our senators who were there at the time did vote in favour of those amendments, just like we did vote with the opposition in respect. There was two there at the time.
And Minister Helen McEnany says she's open to amendments now. So would you vote for an amended version of this bill, Pa?
Well, that depends on what the amendments are. But I mean, like, we had clear amendments in that Justice Committee meeting, particularly in relation to this contentious Section 10 of the bill, that they weren't accepted. Other members of the opposition then had an amendment to remove Section 10 completely, and we agreed with that. However, because we've been listening to people from traveller backgrounds, people from immigrant backgrounds, and listening to what they have said, we allowed it to go through to that stage. But in June, no amendments still were happening.
Pa, your amendments actually sought to expand the scope of the bill.
Let's hear from Barry.
The amendments that Sinn Féin brought forward at that stage were actually
Let me call a hold here for a second. Let's hear from Barry, and then I'll get you to respond.
The amendments that you put forward in the Justice Committee actually aimed to expand the number of protected characteristics and groups that would be protected. So you actually tried to expand the scope of this bill, quite contrary to what you're doing now, and saying that you would throw it out altogether. Is that not completely contradictory?
Absolutely not. For example, one of our amendments in relation to the Section 10, which is preparing or possessing material, with a view to communicating it to other people, we wanted to amend that quite substantially.
What are the other amendments
that
sought to
say that there had to be to show that there had to be intent behind communicating or
Can
delivering
that
to other
that
people?
Point? Because the ICCL was talking about this on Morning Ireland as well. Your problem here, Pa, is that if you're found to be in possession of material that's deemed to be hateful, you could be prosecuted, even if you don't distribute or publish that material. Is that right? And you're saying that goes too far.
That is in the government's bill.
That's not correct. In the government's bill. That is not what the bill says. Let's just be absolutely clear about this.
Let me clarify, because it seems to be the impression.
And this is the kind of thing that has been spewed by a lot of opponents of this bill, but it's not correct. You must be in possession of material, A, that is calculated to incite hatred or violence, and B, where there are reasonable circumstances to believe that you intend to distribute it. So some of the arguments I've heard people, opponents of this bill, saying you're walking down the street and you have an offensive article on your phone, the guards stop you and suddenly you've committed a crime. And of course, that's absolute nonsense. It's scaremongering in relation to Section 10. Section 10 is there so that if the guards search your house and they find you have 20,000 leaflets you're about to distribute calling for all immigrants to be burnt out or something like that, they don't have to wait for you to distribute them before you've committed an offence. It's a perfectly reasonable.
It
exists in lots of pieces of criminal legislation.
What's the problem there?
Yeah, the qualifying part of that is under Section 10.3, where they are assuming and presuming, and it's reasonable to assume that it wasn't intended for personal use, and then you will be presumed to be in contravention of it, and an intention then, or you're likely to send it on to somebody else. We think that is it's too easy to have a prosecution in relation to it. We had submitted amendments that there should be a serious and clear intention.
What if you have 20,000 leaflets, as Barry says?
Hang
on a second. What if you do have 20,000 leaflets in your house? That seems to be inciting hatred.
Well, if you see, that was the whole point of our amendment, that there must be a clear and serious intention. But why did the government reject that amendment that we submitted in the Justice Committee? However, I do accept that the minister who was there at the time did say that he was sure that the minister was going to listen. He was going to reflect on it. But let me ask Barry a question in the last 13 months.
Let me ask Barry a question of this, because the problem is that some people say if you're in possession of material, without distributing or publishing it, no harm is done. What if you're researching a book on Nazi Germany, for example?
And that is protected specifically by Section 11 of the bill, and each of the offences contains a protection in a subparagraph saying that if it's for legitimate discourse and it covers religious, political, academic, literary discourse, then that is absolutely protected by the bill. But again, it's not just possession of material. It's possession of material that is calculated to incite hatement or violence, and it's material that where there's a clear intention to distribute it. This is
how do you prove that?
But that's a matter for evidence. But seems to suggest
you can brush through Cormac, that very quickly. If I have 20,000 leaflets, for example,
what happens, Cormac, if you have a gun in your house and you have plans to have a mass shooting event, for example? That's the kind of evidence you're talking about. It's not sufficient for you to have a gun in your house to conclude that you're going to go out and have a mass shooting event. And Paz seems to suggest that somehow this bill is going to put an onus on defendants to prove certain aspects. Nothing in our law can overturn the basic principle that the burden of proof rests on the prosecution, and when you're charged with the offence, you don't have to prove anything. What there is in Section 10, subsection 3, is a specific defence that is there to make sure that if there was never an intention, people can avail of that and they have committed no offence.
Do you have any other concerns, Pa?
Well, first of all, subsection 3 isn't a defence to it. And unfortunately, it won't be mass shootings that we're dealing with. It'll be, the student alone in his or her bedroom who has this material that hasn't distributed it. They're the ones that are eventually going to be prosecuted, such as, in a similar way, to the public order, including public order, relatively minor public order offences, such as Section 6 of the Public Order Act, including that as a hate speech.
Explain that to me, please.
Well, OK, so you could have a situation where you are on the street and you are called a name that is, disgusting to you. Mm-hmm. And then you reply to somebody who has a protected characteristic, who falls under the category, and you use that in your abuse of that person in response to what happened. And in my experience working in the courts over the years, what often happens is that both people get charged. However, you are wide open to a situation here where you, who responded to the initial outburst, gets charged with a hate offence, and that person gets charged with a Section 6 of the Public Order Act. And I don't see. I know that there is a so-called protection under Section 14 where it'd be referred to the DPP, but every offence is supposed to be referred to the DPP. So I don't think that's an adequate safeguard, and I don't think that's
a fundamental misreading of the bill.
Let Barry respond now.
What you're conflating is, for example...
Hang on a second, Pa, please.
This is what's going to happen on the ground.
Pa, can I ask you to let Barry respond, please? You've explained what your point is.
The example that Pa has given has occurred in the UK where the legislation is drafted very differently. And any use of, for example, pejorative language in respect of a protected characteristic in that legislation leads to a potential offence. That is not the case in this bill. This bill makes it very clear that the crime must be motivated by hate. And this bill makes it clear that if you're dealing with material that is calculated to incite hatred or violence, if in the course of a dispute somebody uses a pejorative term, that is not an offence. It may well be
because the crime would have to be motivated by that attitude. As a prosecutor that it's motivated by hate.
Well, then that's a different thing. But you could not show that it's motivated by hate. If, for example, you and I are having a dispute, and I suddenly accuse you of being X, Y, or Z.
Why? Because
it's in the heat of the moment, and there's no evidence in that exchange that it's motivated by hate. If you could make an argument, Barry, in court,
that even though it was in the heat of a protest or whatever, that my words were calculated, that they were cool.
I think that would be almost impossible to make out.
But it could happen, isn't that right?
I don't think so. But it would be up to a jury of 12 people to reasonably see that that's there. And there's no evidence for it.
So the argument could be made, my point.
I mean, you can make an argument at anything you want, Carl.
And it's possible, then, isn't that right?
I don't believe it is possible, to be honest with you.
And
I have a lot of experience of dealing with criminal trials.
Which is why I'm saying that you could put forward the argument quite plausibly, perhaps.
You can make any argument you want, but I don't think it would succeed. This is calculated for someone, for example, who goes up, let's say, to a person who's ethnically different, goes up to the street and calls them a name and tells everybody else that they should hate this person in whatever way they choose to do it. That's a crime that's initiated by hate.
Is it clearly defined then?
Yes, it is clearly defined. Okay. And that is really obvious. And by the way, the provisions in this bill are not new. They exist in lots of areas of criminal law.
Pa.
First of all, it doesn't necessarily have to go before a jury, because there are provisions under the public order side of things that you will get on summary conviction, which is in the district court, to a Class C fine or not exceeding 6 months or both. But that'll be the least of your worries if you have a conviction for a hate crime. So the best to look to you getting any job with a conviction for a minor public order offence. And secondly, in section 18.3, it says that aggravation of certain offences by hatred under the Public Order Act, where at the time the person demonstrates hatred, and the hatred is on account of a membership of a protected characteristic, that you're demonstrating the hatred in the middle of that offence that I mentioned a couple of minutes ago.
Sinn Féin.
It's an aggravating factor, not a separate offence. This is the confusion that they continually introduce.
Just to summarise, is saying abandon this bill. Fine Gael, what's Simon Harris' position? Progress the bill, is that it?
Well, no. Helen McEntee is the Minister for Justice. She is involved in a process at the moment where they're reviewing the bill and they're seeing if there are amendments that can be made in the Shannon committee stage, which hasn't started yet, to assuage some of the concerns that have been raised by various
different parties. Simon Harris, is he determined to progress the bill?
Well, it's a commitment in the programme for government, and he has already said that he is not going to shelve this bill.
OK. Barry Ward of Fine Gael, Pat Daly of Sinn Féin, thank you very much indeed. 51551.